fellow OM23701 students, this is Mrs. Van Hoopen, your lecturer for this course. In this podcast, I'd like to give you an overview of Chapter 6 in your textbook by Renda Steyn and Hannah. I want to give you the bigger picture, so therefore I'm not going to concentrate on the detail of the calculations. What I want to do is to briefly introduce you to each concept and how they interrelate, so that when you are confronted with a problem, you know at which part of this bigger picture you have to look at in more detail. The chapter deals with inventory control models. You should keep the objectives as stated at the beginning of chapter 2 in your study guide in mind as you work through this chapter. Also, you should refer again to the assessment criteria as stated in tutorial letter 101. In this chapter, we deal with basic inventory control models, with ABC analysis, and with MRP systems. We use ABC analysis to determine what inventory to control because it's not always cost effective to control all inventory. You need to be able to apply the ABC analysis, and the steps are set out clearly in your textbook. The Material Requirements Planning System, or MRP system, is an inventory planning approach which we use to determine the inventory requirements if the demand for one product is dependent on the demand for another product. And we begin by developing, first of all, a bill of materials which identifies the components and the number required for one unit of the final product. And from there, we can then develop a material structure tree which shows us the interrelationship between the different inventory items. Then we can construct a gross material requirement plan. This is basically a time schedule which shows when an item must be ordered or produced. If we now add inventory and receipts and orders to this gross material requirement plan, then we end up with the net material requirement plan for a specific product. You need to be able to develop a bill of materials, material structure tree, gross and net material requirement plans for a given product and a set of components. Now we get to the inventory control models. First of all, I want to tell you that we're going to deal with four different models, but the objective of all these models is to minimize the total cost. Also, I want to emphasize that you must know the formulas by heart, also what each variable stands for and the unit associated with it. For example, a capital D stands for the annual demand, but a small d stands for the daily demand. The first model we're going to look at is the economic order quantity model. You must make sure that you know the assumptions that are used in this model, because you may only use this model if all of the assumptions are met. I'm going to list them quickly. The first one is that the demand is known and constant. The second one is that the lead time is known and constant. The third one is that inventory arrives all at the same time and therefore the receipt is instantaneous. The fourth one is there's no quantity discount. Fifth one is that the only variable costs are the ordering and holding cost. And the sixth and final one is that there are no stock outs or shortages. If these assumptions are met, the optimal order quantity can be determined. Equations 6.1 to 6.8 describe the economic order quantity model. The second model we look at is the production run model. Here we relax one of the assumptions of the economic order quantity model, the one of instantaneous receipt of inventory. If the inventory item is produced rather than bought in, it arrives over a period of time and not instantaneous. This model is specially suited to the production environment, and therefore we have now a setup cost instead of an ordering cost. Equation 6.9 to 6.13 describe the production run model in your textbook. The third model is the quantity discount model. It is not difficult to apply this model. The four steps for this model are clearly set out in your textbook. the four steps are. The first one is you have to calculate the economic order quantity using equation 6-4 for each discount price. The second step is that if the economic order quantity is less than the minimum required for the discount, you have to adjust this economic order quantity to the minimum for the discount. Now, the problem is that students forget to adjust this order quantity upwards if the quantity is too low to qualify for the discount. If you look at the example in the textbook, you'll see that for the discount that you can get for quantities ordered from 1,000 to 1,999, the EOQ calculated was 714. But of course, you cannot use 714 because the lowest that you can order to get a discount is 1,000. So therefore, you have to adjust this quantity to 1,000. The third step is to calculate now the total cost using the economic order quantity or the adjusted quantity. Take note that in this model, we have to include the purchase cost into the total cost. That's different from the previous two models. For the previous two models, the purchase cost was not important because it was constant. But in the quantity discount model, the purchase cost is not constant because it differs for the different discount quantities that are available. So you need to include the purchase cost in your total cost calculation. Finally, we look at safety stock models or reorder point models. Make sure that you have the additional notes on safety stock in front of you if you use the 10th edition of the prescribed book by Rena Steer and Hannah. Economic order quantity models answer the question of how much to order, and reorder point models of when to order. If the demand and the lead time are both constant, then the reorder point is simply the demand rate times the lead time. Note that the demand rate and lead time must be expressed in the same time units. When we have variability in the demand or lead time, it becomes necessary to carry additional inventory, which we call safety stock, to avoid stockouts, and the reorder point becomes the sum of the average demand during the lead time and the safety stock. See equation 6.15. The higher the variability, the greater amount of safety stock will be needed. To determine the safety stock, we need information on the stockout cost. If the stockout cost is known, we can construct a cost table by using different possible demand levels with the known stockout costs. We calculate the expected monetary value for different safety stock levels to determine the minimum cost solution. If the stockout cost is unknown, we use a more general approach of service levels. The higher the level of service required, the greater the amount of safety stock needed, and the higher your cost will be. In this approach, we also assume that the demand and lead time are normally distributed so that we can use the standard normal tables to determine a Z value associated with the service level in order to calculate the safety stock. We look at four different situations. The first situation is where the demand varies and the lead time is constant. You also know the average demand and the standard deviation of the demand during the lead time. In this situation, the reorder point is equation 6.16 in this additional notes, where the safety stock is the product of the number of standard deviations for the given service level and the standard deviation of the demand during the lead time. Secondly, we look at the situation where the demand varies, but we do not know the average demand and the standard deviation of the demand during the lead time. We now make use of the average daily demand and the standard deviation of the daily demand, which gives us equation 617. Next, we look at the situation where the demand is constant and the lead time varies. We now make use of the average lead time and the standard deviation of the lead time, which gives us equation 618. Lastly, we look at the situation where both the demand and the lead time vary. We use the average daily demand and lead time, as well as the standard deviation of the daily demand and the lead time, as in equation 619. When you have to calculate the safety stock in a specific problem, read the problem carefully to see which one of the four situations you are dealing with, and then use the appropriate equation. We have now looked at the four inventory control models, but how do I identify which model to use when I have an inventory control problem? Well, the key lies in the assumptions that we have for each model. The easiest one to spot is the quantity discount model. Whenever you have information on quantity discount, then you know you have to use the quantity discount model. Remember that in the production run model, the receipt of inventory is not instantaneous. So whenever there is mention of units to be produced or manufactured, you probably use the production run model. Other information to look out for is when the demand over the lead time is uncertain. And you'll recognize this situation when there is talk of safety stock, of service level, or of stock out costs. And then you will use the so-called safety stock model. Lastly, if the demand is given as a known and it is constant, and also the lead time is given and it's a constant, then you know you're just dealing with the basic economic order quantity model. A final word on inventory control models. In your textbook, we deal with four different models. But if you in practice have to deal with an inventory control problem and you want to use a model, you must ensure that the assumptions for each different module are met. If not, then you have to consult the literature for other inventory models. And there are lots of other inventory models available in the literature. So if you do get stuck, consult the literature and look for a model whose assumptions are valid for your specific problem. This brings us to the end of this podcast on inventory control.